beat work, Lord, have mercy.
Why keep pausing like I do? Why keep flossing like I do? Why keep saucing like I do? Why keep causing like you do? All these eyes up in my jeans, you can't get up in between. You're trying to get up in some me. I can teach you a couple things.
Hi, my name is Pablo, and welcome back to another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast with Pablo the Don. You guys, thank you so much for all the support on last week's episode. It's not easy to take over a month off and come back and see as much support as I did, but I'm really grateful that you guys have been sticking it out with me and checking out the podcast and supporting me in ways that frankly just were not happening before. It's so amazing to see that you guys are really ride or die. So thank you so much. I'm super, super, super excited for this week's episode because I think I'm answering the age-old question of what I do, which is being a music critic, and also why critics sometimes can really, really suck, especially in the digital space. Before I tell you guys my opinions on what I do, what I'm supposed to do, and how you guys are supposed to receive that, I want to let you guys know that I will be pulling some references from Alpho Media, who is a YouTuber. I think his videos are great. And it's a video specifically that he made about the appreciation of Anthony Fantano, aka The Needle Drop. I will be using some of his references in ways to describe what a critic is and what I do. But you should definitely check out his video about the appreciation he has for Fantano. I think all critics kind of hold that appreciation for him, especially in the digital space. And so you should check out the video and, support that, but also support me. So just so you guys know, I have been writing about music and pop culture since I was 15 years old. But the first time I ever wrote my actual real critique or analysis on culture was, I believe, in 2018, after the passing of XXXTentacion. And I was talking about how we deal with the difficult relationship between who he was as a person, who he was as an artist, and where his legacy ultimately stands both in hip hop and in media in general. I don't think a lot of people received that criticism well because I was just very frank and honest about the harm that he had caused women and gay people in his tenure on Earth. And to be honest, at the time, I didn't care. And I still don't care how people review it and receive it because it was the truth. And I felt like at the time, it was something that people that were talking about his legacy and how difficult it was to reckon with that were not ultimately really talking about. It would end up being one line. But I based a lot of my review on how difficult it was to realize that he was a talented individual who had so much more potential, who just didn't reach it, but was also this very violent person. And we really don't know what would have happened had he been alive longer. And I think that leads me into what critics do exactly. So for me, what a critic does is they tell you their opinions on art. And they are seen as a liaison between an artist and the artist's fan base, or what I'm going to refer as to consumers. Critics, to me, are here to make the art better. They are here to do all the critical thinking that I think a lot of people do not do when they are consuming music. I think a lot of people forget that critics are here to add conversation and to spark a deeper conversation on the deeper meaning of people's works. And they're here to tell you why that work has such a deeper meaning, where the references come from, and ultimately make an opinion based on all of that information that they've researched and thought about and discussed amongst their own peers. I think the thing that critics have that a lot of people on the internet who give their opinions don't just have is the why behind why they like what they do and why they don't like what they don't like. A lot of people on the internet who just give out hot takes, frankly, just don't have the nuance, the range, or the capacity to think about these things critically and think about what they're saying in a thoughtful manner. That's one, not going to be offensive. And that number two just makes fucking sense. I think that critics are here to genuinely help to make art better. Or at least in my opinion, that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to try to help artists make their art much better. And sometimes I know that's hard to do when I'm only talking about an album in a 60-second format on TikTok, which is why I've been deciding to move a lot more of the reviews back to the podcast, because I don't think doing a 60-second review on TikTok gives the artist or their work enough room to breathe, essentially. I think that by offering a 60-second take, though mine may be very nuanced and very good, it's not in-depth enough. It doesn't talk about the sounds specifically in every single video. It doesn't talk about the vocal inflections in every single video. It doesn't always add the cultural significance behind an artist using a specific sample, because I just don't have that amount of time in a 60-second TikTok. And I think for me personally, why I like music criticism and pop culture criticism is because I get to talk about art from a vantage point of a Black, queer, non-binary person. When you look at some of the top critics in film and TV and music today, a lot of them are not me. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but a lot of them don't look like me. They don't sound like me. They don't act like me. They don't identify the same way that I identify. And therefore, their opinions are going to be different because they don't have all the same experiences that I do. They don't have all the same range as I do. That's why it's really important to me that a lot more people that look like me and that are different than me get into criticism of arts. I don't think me or any other critic are here to guide your opinions or tell you what to think about a certain album. And I think definitely in the social media space and considering the power that someone like a Fantano has, a lot of people have decided to give that authority to critics. And frankly, I think that's wrong because the job of a critic is not, again, to shape your opinions in any way. It's to give you the cultural significance, the little tidbits that matter, that tell you why they personally think something is good or bad, to improve the art both for the average music listener and for the creator that's making that art. I think when we're consuming these reviews, whether it be online or reading it, we get caught up in the numerical value and not in the why it got that numerical value. That's why if you notice on my TikTok, I've stopped doing any sort of numerical value based on anyone's art. I want to give a shout out here to one of my friends on TikTok named Annabelle. You guys should follow her. She said that giving an artist's music a numerical value is very impersonal, and it makes it seem as though their art, which is really a qualitative work, can be reduced down to a quantitative value. And I hated that feeling that would be assigned to someone's artwork that they worked on very hard, coming from me as a person who, number one, does not make music anymore, and number two, is judging it based off of my own experiences. I just felt like that would be soul crushing to some people. And I never got into the space wanting to do that to anyone. I do understand that a lot of people cannot compartmentalize a review without a numerical value, but I look at that as their own issue. And I feel as though if you listen to me, if you listen to my reviews, if you listen to this podcast, my goal is never to tell you what's good and what isn't. My goal is to tell you why I feel something is good and why I feel something is bad. And I think I can tell you why something is good or why something is bad without putting a number on it. And I think not putting a number on it, frankly, encourages y'all to think more because you have to listen to my words. That's the only way you get the value out of what I'm saying about someone's album is by listening to the words that I'm saying. I think oftentimes where people mess up trying to speak about critics and what we do and what our job is the fact that they forget that, number one, we're just normal people. None of us have opinions that are any better than yours or right or wrong, because at the end of the day, they are opinions. But what I think people need to respect about critics is their experience. I think people forget that, for me, example, I probably listen to more music and more albums than you. I've probably done more research into music theory than you. For film critics, they've probably watched more films than you. They've probably discussed more films than you. They've done this work for a lot longer than you as an average music listener has. And that's not saying that a lot of music listeners don't consume a lot of music. A lot of y'all do. Some of y'all consume things that I've never heard of before. And I think that speaks to how much of a differing taste that people have. But I think the difference is I've been listening to music for so long and having or attempting to have critical thought about albums for so long that it's almost become second nature. I can't really turn off the critical thinking switch whenever music comes on, or TV really. The only thing, which I think people are soon gonna realize, that I can watch where my critical thinking skills kind of are switched off is truthfully wrestling, because I understand that wrestling is not real to an extent. It is predetermined and things like that. But even in watching wrestling, especially current wrestling, I am more critical than I think I've ever been before, because I understand how wrestling works, kind of. But that's only come with wrestling critics like What Culture and Cultaholic Wrestling that have come around, not because I understood how the business worked on my end or how booking worked. But with music, it's different. I think since a young age, I've always thought about lyrics and soundscapes and music very differently than a lot of people. And I think that becoming a critic for me was like a natural progression, because I would always talk about these weird parts of music. Like when listening to Can't Stop by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I always felt like the thing that made the song was that clap in the chorus on like the third beat. It was on like an upbeat instead of a downbeat. And I thought that that just made the song so much better. And I don't think my friends or my peers that were just listening to music to have a good time were thinking about it in that way. I think a lot of times people forget that I've dedicated my life to criticism. I've dedicated my life to basically staying in my house and just consuming as much music as possible just to give you guys my opinion. And that doesn't mean I don't have a life. I do have a life, absolutely. But a lot of what I want to do and what a lot of what I do is listen to music in my house and think about it critically. And I think because of that, that doesn't make my opinion necessarily right or better. It just means that when I'm giving my opinion, I have more experience and more tact and more thoughtfulness behind it than a lot of people who just give their opinions on social media or wherever. I genuinely like to think that when I or any other music or any other seasoned critic talks, what we're doing is creating a conversation that improves both the consumer's and the creator's listening experience. We're talking about things that you might not have noticed. We're talking about things that you might not have understood the significance behind. We are kind of trying to convey a message that the artist doesn't explicitly say to you within their music. And I think that's where the value of critics come in. I think what a lot of people need to realize about criticism in general, but specifically music criticism, it is very, very difficult for a lot of people to explain the meanings behind something or the reasons why they like things. It takes a lot of research into music theory. It takes a lot of research into music history. It takes a lot of dedicating your time to understanding almost every facet of music in order to make an opinion that is informed, thought-provoking, and also critical of the art that's being made. And I think when people understand that not everybody can do that, there's gonna be a lot more of an appreciation for critics who do it well. And this isn't me saying that I do my job well. I would like to think I do. I would like to think that the platform that I built is not a fluke and that you guys genuinely enjoy my criticisms and my analysis on situations. But at the end of the day, I think that bleeds into another issue that a lot of critics have. But before we talk about that, we have to give a huge thank you to our sponsor today, Manscaped. The Back Catalog Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in below-the-waist grooming and hygiene. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The 4.0. Join over 2 million people worldwide who trust Manscaped with the exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BCP20 at manscaped.com. Just imagine yourself shaving with the sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. I was fortunate to be one of the first people to try out the 4.0, and honestly, y'all, I am so blown away by its performance. The craftsmanships and the details on the 4.0 are truthfully next level. Before I got to try out the Manscaped 4.0 trimmer, I actually was just usually a shaver initially, and one time while I was shaving myself, I accidentally cut myself a little too close and made myself bleed. I was so scarred from then on. I swore off shaving and just went straight for waxes, which, as you guys know, can get to be pretty expensive. Up until I got the Manscaped 4.0, I never even considered going back to shaving. But Manscaped engineered the ultimate growing and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Now, I feel so much more confident about shaving, y'all. No close calls ever. This upgraded trimmer includes a multi-function on-off switch that can engage a travel lock. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight when needed for a more precise shave. We can all use that to get a little bit closer, you know. The Lawnmower 4.0 even allows you to customize your trim through additional guard lengths with sizes 1-4, just in case, you know, you want to keep it a little bit bushy, give it a cute little design, or take it all the way to the skin. But y'all, the big selling point for me is absolutely the wireless charging. The new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. We love technology. First of all, if you've been shaving with the same below the waist trimmer as you do on your face, you've been doing it wrong, because that's nasty, number one. Also, no person wants to end up with pubes in your mouth. Come on now. It's time for you to get your own hair and body trimmer with Manscaped to make me time the best time and enhance your confidence. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BCP20 at manscaped.com. I think a main issue that a lot of critics have or end up developing as they go throughout their career is that they become very arrogant. To want to be a critic in the first place means you have to, at some extent, to some level, be pretty arrogant. You have to believe that people should listen to your opinions and formulate their own opinions based off of what you've said. I think for a lot of us, we feel as though we've done all this research and we have all this knowledge, and that is why people should listen to us more than maybe someone else, or maybe more than themselves. And I think sometimes, and I've even had to catch myself on this, a lot of us can get caught up in that. I think a big thing for me, and probably should be for a lot of critics, is just making sure your ego stays in check. I'm not saying that my ego gets out of control, because I really don't think it does, but I'm glad I'm surrounded by people who, if it ever did, they would remind me that I'm just as normal as the people that I'm disseminating information to. And I think for a lot of critics, after so many years in the field, so many experiences that they've had, so many people telling them that they're right all the time, so many awards and nominations, sometimes it can get to their heads. And I think they can think that their opinion is the right opinion after a while. For me, I always try to remember that I am not the most oppressed individual out here. There are people who are more oppressed than I am, and therefore they will have differing opinions because of their identities, intersectionalities, and their specific oppressions. But I do think to be a critic, you do have to, in a sense, walk with a flare of arrogance. It takes a lot to do this, and it takes a lot to try to convince people to listen to you. But I think that goes into another aspect of being a critic and what it takes to be one. I think you have to come off as authentic, and I think you have to really have a great personality to be a good critic and to be accepted as a great critic. And I think a lot of people who want to do that don't necessarily have that quality. And it doesn't mean that they're a bad person or would make a bad critic. It just means it might be a little tougher. I think people expect for me to be funny at times and to crack jokes and to have funny comebacks and clever quips whenever people are rude in the comments. I think a lot of people also have this weird notion about critics that just because we critique something, we are open to the abuse that we are oftentimes subjected to for sharing our opinions. When you're critiquing someone, especially someone with a massive fan base these days, I really do feel like it opens you up to another world of abuse and another world of just beratement and belittling from fans and people who just don't agree with you. As social media has become more and more of a place where fans of a certain artist, whoever that may be, can congregate and connect, it becomes harder to form genuine criticisms about them. And I think that's because people blindly support and blindly follow a lot of their favorite artists. And I think because of that, and because of a lot of backlash that artists have given criticism, a lot of people feel like critics are negative innately, and we're not. And I think social media has kind of ruined the art and the space that criticism was supposed to take up and did take up in the 20th century. Now, if you don't like something and you express your opinion on it, you're a hater, or you just don't like this artist, or you're trying to loop their personal life into their music, when that necessarily may not be true. And for me personally, while I don't necessarily loop in people's personal lives, but I do talk about how their behavior might affect their music, i.e. someone like Kanye giving DaBaby and Marilyn Manson a feature, platforming abusive people, it doesn't mean that I cannot say Kanye still made a good album. It just means that I recognize that even though he's talented and can make great music, he also, in his personal life, supports abusers. And I think the minute people realize that folks can still have that sort of duality and talk about artists in a way that doesn't necessarily separate the art from the artist, but does consider both things when talking about their music, maybe, just maybe, we'll make some sort of progression in society. I think a lot of people, especially stans, and you guys know how I feel about that, but I don't necessarily think they're detrimental to the music ecosystem. I think stans take criticism as inherently negative, and I just don't find that to be true. As I said in the beginning, criticism is so that way the art improves for everyone, and it gives consumers a lot of context to the art that they're consuming. I like to think my criticisms also make people think about what they're consuming as well, especially my criticisms in pop culture. But I realize a lot of people tune into what I do on TikTok or the podcast to try to get a lot of tea or whatever. I want y'all to know, though, that's never, ever my aim, is to spill tea or anything like that. I don't want to be a shade room or baller alert. What I do want to do is take the moments in pop culture that are trending that day and talk about them in a way that provides more context and that is way more meaningful than I think a lot of these internet blog sites cover them. So yeah, when a lot of people say, well, such and such isn't that deep, to me, it's not the fact that the situation is deep or not. It's about the implications of the situation. It's about how that situation could affect something in the future. It's about the why that situation had to happen in the first place and what we can take from it as a society in order to be better. Those are the reasons why I think a lot of people feel as though I might be taking and making something deeper than it needs to be. But in reality, I'm not saying I'm always right, but the way things play out will inform us of what's going to happen in the future. And as we all know, history does tend to repeat itself. And I think by providing analysis on a lot of these situations, I'm trying to say maybe we shouldn't repeat this behavior in the future. I think that when people understand that critiquing something isn't inherently negative and that it's really, again, for the improvement of the art form later down the line, then maybe we'll be able to have more meaningful discussions about music and about film and about pop culture again. I feel like now more than ever, it's important to have critics, and it's important to have a diverse field of critics. And that doesn't mean that critics themselves are shielded from critique. No, there's always ways where I can make my critiques better. I can give you guys more information. I can talk about specific things so that way you know when you see my videos or you listen to my podcast, exactly the things I'm going to focus on. I think that's super important. I think specifically for me, when you come to my channel, there are certain things that you already know, especially when it comes to music. Y'all know I don't really like K-pop. Y'all know I really, really love good bass lines. And you know that more than anything, I want to see Black people and Black queer folks win. So when you see something on my channel, like a few weeks ago when I gave the Butter remix a positive review, you know that it's not necessarily me being biased or unbiased, because again, it's based all in my opinions and all opinions are biased. But you know, I really sat down and thought about it, and I'm telling you why that song worked for me, even though y'all know a lot of K-pop is not my bag and it's not what I'm into. I think some of the most valuable moments in criticism is when you hear your favorite critic give a review, a positive review, to something you know they're usually not a fan of, because that means they really sat down and thought critically about what they were listening to or watching and figured out what really worked for them in that moment for that specific genre or subset of movies or whatever. Those are the moments to me that make criticism very necessary and very worthwhile. Because while their opinion might be inherently biased, because all opinions are, it doesn't mean they immediately write everything off. And again, because we live in the social media age, we have a lot of people who give hot takes on things. That has become a very prevalent thing in this culture, especially right now. I want you guys to know that those people who give hot takes without any justification, any reasoning, any logic behind their hot take, they are not critics. What they are talking heads and personalities that get paid to give their one sentence, two sentence opinions with no context and no real information to disseminate to you to make your listening experience better. I like to call them internet shock jocks because that's what they're there for, to drive up clicks and engagement and do a lot of outrage farming to get us upset because they've said something out of pocket about one of our favorites or something like that. Please be clear though, those people and critics are not the same. While critics may not give a favorable opinion on something, it's got a reasoning behind it. And they'll let you know why it didn't work for them personally. They're not there to get you mad on purpose. They're there to tell you why a song or an album or a movie didn't work for them and why it didn't tick their boxes and why it didn't entertain them as much as it should have or could have. I think it's important to distinguish between critics and those hot take talking heads, essentially, because what critics do is important to the ecosystem of music and film and art and culture. What we do isn't just sitting down in front of a mic and giving a hot take. What we do is well thought out, well informed, and it takes up a lot of our time and life. I think people really undervalue the role that critics play in this society and why they're so important to have. And I think because of that, a lot of people are under the assumption that most, if not all, critics suck. I would say I implore you to find the critic that makes you think the most, that offers their biased opinion in a way that doesn't seem forced upon you, and that encourage you to do your own listening, your own research, and to start a dialogue with other music lovers or film lovers or whatever. Those are the people who are pushing forward the necessary conversations to make art better, to make art more fun to consume, and ultimately to make art valuable. I think if we keep all of this at the front of our heads when we're watching a Fantano review, or you're watching me on TikTok, or you're listening to someone on a podcast, then maybe, just maybe, we'll find the value in criticism again and stop thinking everything's about hatred. But until then, I think there will always be a stain on criticism and critics, because some people have taken advantage of what it means to do this job, and some people have used it just to become talking heads and to make a lot of money and not really give any critical thinking or give any critical listening or give any critical meaning to anything that they're talking about. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Back Catalog Podcast. I really hope you enjoy it, and I hope it convinced you to think more about critics and the role that they play, not only in your personal lives, but in media in general. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at pablo.thedon. Follow the Back Catalog Instagram at Back Catalog Pod, catalog spelled the American way, C-A-T-A-L-O-G. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Pablo the Don with two E's. And make sure you follow me on TikTok, Pablo the Don, all one word. I'm Pablo the Don, and this has been another episode of the Back Catalog Podcast. I'll see you guys soon. I the surfing man, I the working man. It's on purpose, I'm doing it big. Body language like speaking Spanglish, I'll educate you how to do this shit. Temporary, that's never rary. I'm necessary, yeah, I am that bitch. You can't get this thickness out of your mind. He said he like that laughy